Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is IBM CL Super Session for COS Top 10 Problems and Solutions. Today's presenters are Sue DeMaras, Tom LaRocco, and Wayne Windsor. Sue, Tom, and Wayne are members of the Level 2 support team for Kix Tools, which include the following session management tools: CL Super Session, CL Conference, and the IBM Session Manager. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Tom.
Thank you, Joseph. My name is Tom LaRocco, and as Joseph said, there will be two other people joining in this presentation. It will be Sue DeMare and Wayne Windsor. Be covering several of the topics today. Let's move on to slide 2 for a look at the agenda. We picked out the most active issues as we see them coming into the support center as of recently. At the end of this presentation, there will be an opportunity for you to offer suggestions for other super session topics of interest you would like to see presented at future technical exchanges. Looking at the agenda, all topics are related to super session, but not necessarily related to each other. We are going to attempt to make the transition to each topic as smooth as we can. So, starting at the first agenda item on slide 3, please. The web page you see here will take you to the super session main support page, referred to as the support portal. This is where you would do your first searches when you have a question or a problem prior to opening a PMR or placing a call to support. You will want to bookmark this page. Slide 4, please. This is actually what the support portal page looks like. If you haven't been there, I plan to go through some basic navigation of this page and describe how you would find the complete set of manuals for Super Session. Slide 5, please. In the upper right-hand corner of the support portal page, there was a small box where you can enter your surcharge argument. Still on the right-hand side of that page, just below that search box, there is an item labeled Product and Brand Links. You click on the plus sign, untwist the twisty for CL Super Session, and there will be several selections in order to access There will be several selections. In order to access the complete set of CL Super Session reference manuals, you would choose Library. The next item on this slide accounts for a very large number of PMRs that we receive. Customers are going to a new release of ZOS and wanting to know what maintenance is required for Super Session. Yes, you need to know the answer to this, because we have some customers that don't ask and they discover the Super Session address space won't start because they are not current with maintenance. There is a tech note showing what is needed. You can use that search box in the upper right-hand side of the support portal page and just search for two words, fix list. This tech note will tell you exactly what PTFs you need to be current. We will always recommend that you put on all the maintenance listed. For example, even though you may be migrating to ZOS 1.11, but there is maintenance up to and including ZOS 1.12 listed, you should go ahead and apply it all. The maintenance is always downward compatible. You can put on all of the maintenance and still use your current ZOS release. You can be running with the new maintenance level for weeks before you actually move to your ZOS release.
We could go to slide 6, please. If you are unable to find the answer that you need through the support portal, you may need to contact us in the support center for further assistance. You may already be familiar with the ETR process, the electronic problem record process that's been around for some time. This screen shows how to get to the CL Super Session product. Some people have found it a little bit difficult to find where our product is listed. You would go to the Select the Tivoli Products. Once there, you would select Tivoli's Omegamon products, and that is where Super Session, as well as the CT Engine and CL Conference, are listed. If you have any questions about how to use the ETR process itself, you can reference the URL listed there for the tech note that provides that information. Slide 7, please. There is also a new method for contacting us online called Service Request. You must be able to sign on with a valid user ID that's connected to a valid customer number that has rights to the Super Session product. Once you have that established, then when you sign into the service request and choose the IBM Service Request tab, then you would click on the Open a New Service Request link. Slide 8. If you haven't opened a service request for Super Session before, it may not be listed in the Preferred Products tab. If that is the case, you can search for it either in the Supported Products or Entire Product Catalog tabs. We have had some reports that the product cannot be found with any combination of the CL, Flash, and Super Session name. If you are unable to find the product by name, you can search for it by its component identifier, 5608-ABLE2400. Once you have found and selected that item, you will see it listed in the Preferred Products tab. Slide 9. Once it's listed in the Preferred Products tab, you can then select it and click on Continue to open a service request item with us. And it will follow the same process as any other product at that point. We'll now continue to slide 10 and turn the time over to Tom for the next agenda item.
Thank you, Wayne. The scenario here is the Super Session address space is kept up for days, weeks, and in some cases, months. There could be millions of lines containing the TLV log, which is Super Session's audit log, tying up space on your spool volume. In order to release the TLV log sys out and free up that space on the spool, you would use the TLV log switch command. This command will dynamically allocate a new TLV log sys out file and release the previous file to JES for processing without recycling the Super Session address space. Based on the command format you could see on this slide, there are many different choices that can be selected to route that output wherever you need it to go. You'll not find this command in any manuals because it was implemented after the manuals were printed. However, if you use that search box on the support portal page, just search for TLV log switch, you will find the tech notes with the information that you would need to implement this. Slide 11, please. There are a couple options shown on this slide to have the TLV log switch command executed without any operator intervention. In the first example, assuming you wanted to have the TLV log switch each time the sysout reached 20,000 lines, you might set this command up in a command line member that gets executed when the Super Session address space is started. The command, as shown on this slide, will route the TLV log to sysout class X and to a specific destination as shown. The max lines equals 20. It'll do the switch when it equals 20,000 lines. The second example shows how to use the at command to execute the TLV log switch every day at midnight. You could see from the format on this slide, this will route the output to sysout class F. By the way, the at command is another command that you won't find in the Super Session Operator's Guide. But go to that search box at the support portal to find a TechNote with the details on this command. Slide 12, please. In order for Jez to free the sys out from the spool, you would have needed to start the address space with the spin equals unalloc parameter on the TLV log DD statement. And as it says here, do not use free equals close because it will cause a couple of dynamic allocation errors as shown here on this slide. Moving on to the next agenda item and slide 13, please. This topic deals with customers that use ACF2 as their external security manager. Using ACF2 requires the assembly of a sample exit called KLS-A2-NEV. This exit is provided in your TLS SAMP dataset. Now, in version 15, the ACF2 vendor gave their ampersand ID macro a new name. This will cause an assembly error indicating undefined operation code. On this slide, we show a piece of the code from that KLS-A2-NEV exit, and this is the only reference to that macro in this source code. All you need to do is change the macro name from ampersand ID to ampersand IDDENT to get a clean assembly. You will also find a TechNote that explains this, again, by searching in the support portal, off of the support portal. Continuing on to slide 14, the KLS-A2-NEV exit, as supplied, does not allow for all of the messages that can occur when ACF2 rejects a new password. Password requirements are site-specific, and the messages generated depend on the rules that the security person has set up for passwords at your site. You know, for example, you may require passwords that require upper and lower case, one numeric, one special character, etc. Customers need to be sure, though, that all of the new password reject messages that can be generated at your site are accounted for in the KLS-A2 NEV exit. You can see there are many, and this is not a complete list. Messages either start with ACF00 or ACF01. The problem that will occur if you do not account for all these messages when the user is prompted for a new password and it is rejected by ACF2, which produces a message that doesn't happen to be coded in KLS-A2-NEV, the exit will return with a return code 0, and the user will proceed to the main super session selection panel, making it appear to the user that the password was accepted. Super session thinks this password was fine also, and will begin to use the new password for subsequent logons to other applications. And, of course, after a couple of tries to access an application with the wrong password, the user's access will be revoked. Moving on to slide 15. In the past, there was only one or two password reject messages that began with ACF00, and they were hard-coded within the exit. While there was always many ACF01 messages generated, there was a message table already coded in KLS-A2-NEV to provide for the ACF01 messages. You may have to add one or two to that today. Since the number of ACF00 messages has grown significantly, you could create a similar table for the ACF00 messages. You would remove the hard-coded messages, and with similar logic that currently supports the message table, support another table for the ACF00 messages. In this slide, I show a new table and call it Message Tab 00. Now, I know of at least one customer who has implemented it in this way. If you choose to do it that way, a sample of the code that could be used to support a message tab 00 happens to be in the notes section on this same slide, which we're not going to go over at this presentation. For the next agenda item, Sue will discuss Super Sessions Gateway for IMS interface starting on the next slide, number 16.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Moving on to 16. For our next agenda item, I'll talk about using the CL Gateway for IMS and specifically about changes to the IMS security implementation. And for reference to CL Gateway functions, you can also see Chapter 6 of the Customization Guide for CL Super Sessions. So for a little background, CL Gateway uses two commands when a user first logs on. These are DQ and assign. The interface is external to IMS, and it has no hooks in the IMS code. These commands work by setting up virtual master terminal operators, or MTOs, with IMS. These commands, they're sent immediately before binding the user session, and they're transparent to the user. Moving to slide 17. The IMS DQ command works with a pterm approach to get rid of any residual messages that may have been left from a previous user. And LTERM assign manages display and printer LTERMs for users and groups. But it's important to note that the MTO perform these commands before any sign-on occurs. So on slide 18, we come to the reason for this agenda item, and that is the migration necessary when moving to IMS v10 or later releases. In IMS v9 and earlier, many of our customers implemented SMU, or Security Maintenance Utility, in IMS as a way to validate users, passwords, commands, and transactions. But in IMS v10, the SMU was removed in favor of using an external security manager, such as RACF. Now, ESMs require that the MTO sign on before issuing commands, and that means that you must add maintenance if you're going to use CL Gateway with IMS v10 or later releases. So moving on to slide 19. Here I've listed the maintenance that's required for using CL Gateway with the newer releases of IMS. These PTS added two new options keywords for the terminal and type macro, that's autosign and no autosign. If you're going to use CL Gateway with this release of IMS, you need to code autosign. Then IMS will sign on to the terminal using the first LTERM name as the user ID. No password will be required, but the LTERM must be defined to RACF. So, turning to slide 20, you may find it easier to migrate from SMU to your ESM at IMS v9. This is the release that supports both types of security, but you should note that IMS v9 is no longer a supported release. Also, there are utilities that are provided with a PTF that can help you move to your ESM. These utilities help generate RACF profiles and user profiles from your existing SMU data. Also, this is not on this slide, but if you're running with ACF2 as your ESM, there are a few fixes that you should inquire with computer associates about, and these are RO24868, RO24894, and RO24895. And finally, if you want to refer to the details of this migration, they're listed at the link at the bottom of this slide. And that concludes this agenda item. So moving on to slide 21 and our next item. This is an issue that we've seen when using the closed desk pass AppleDef along with SimLogon. If a CL Super Session application is defined with closed desk pass, then the user's terminal is connected directly to the application, and the user is no longer connected through CL Super Session, which means when the session terminates, the user will be returned to a USS Message 10 screen or back to a Log Apple, and he will have to re-enter his credentials to get back into the Super Session main menu. So let's go to slide 22. One way that you can get around the user needing to re-enter these credentials would be to use the SIM logon parameter on the Apple desk. And what this does is it returns the user to the main menu without requiring another sign-on. And the format is given on this slide, where you specify SIM logon with the user ID and password variables so that these can be passed as VTAM user data. So, moving on to slide 23. This is the reason for this agenda item. We encountered a problem after CL Super Session performed a closed desk task and after the VTAM SIM logon queue took place, which would mean that the terminal should go back to the CL Super Session main menu. But in this case, the SIM logon failed. A VTAM internal trace showed the sense code 0857-0003, indicating that the SLU was inactive, and it was determined that Telnet had closed the ACB. So moving to slide 24, what we found and how to avoid this problem is to code queue session on the allow Apple definition in Telnet. And this will tell Telnet to keep the ACB open when another session is expected to be established with the terminal. And with that, we'll move on to our next agenda item on the next slide, number 25. This agenda item covers some of the changes to the behavior of the TSO logon here, which was changed in ZOS V1 R11. In that release, on became the default behavior. Setting TSO logon here to on allows a user to reconnect their existing session even if the session is not in a disconnected state, which means if you accidentally left your session logged on at work and you wanted to log on at home, you could reconnect without a call to the help desk. You should note that if you are setting recon lim equals zero in the TSO key parlog member, this disables all reconnect processing, including log on here support. Moving to slide 26. CL Super Session provided an APAR to support this new behavior, and that is OA30103. There is no code change, but there is a modification to the sample VSM def in KLS $VSMS. If you would like to use the function, you do need to code pass or dedicate on your terminal pool, and a sample pool is provided called TSO LGNHR. Also, if you do not wish to use the function, then you can set TSO logon here to off in the IKJ TSO member. And, of course, you can find details on the link at the bottom of this page. So, moving to slide 27. That concludes the last agenda item. This is one more. These are a few notes about ordering CL Super Session maintenance. You can do so with Shop Z-Series or with IBM Link, but you should be aware that when you choose a PTF, and then select also sending all the prereqs and corecs, you may not get all the maintenance that you were expecting. And that's because prereqs and corecs are only pulled for the last 6 months, and older PTFs have to be ordered individually. That means that you should verify the ones that you need to order with the current list of PTFs, and you can use the link at the bottom of this slide to reference which ones you would need to pull. So that concludes this agenda item. And now I will turn things over to Wayne.
Thank you, Sue. We can move to slide 28, please. As Sue said, if you have a lot of maintenance to apply, it can be a little bit difficult ordering one PTF at a time. And there can be quite a few of these older PTFs depending on how far back your maintenance level is. Or you may have problems with your SMP environment. There are various reasons why you might want to go another route than ordering straight maintenance. And we have provided the ability to reinstall the product using a quick install instead of just going with the straight application of maintenance. One case might be if no maintenance has been applied for many years. For instance, message KLGOP998 at startup shows the maintenance level of the product. If it shows V147-9700, this was created to support the Y2K problems. You can see that the maintenance level shows the version of the product, V147, followed by a two-year code and a two-digit week code. So that shows for 1997 with no weeks. If it says something like V1470823, then you would know that your maintenance level was from 2008, from the 23rd week. Anyway, the version 147.9700 is now quite old and is only good until ZOS version 1.9. So you may find it that applying maintenance directly is too difficult and would want to use the quick install process to catch up. Let's see how to order and use that quick install process. Slide 29, please. CL Super Session was acquired when Candle was purchased by IBM. The product has never been blue washed, so it is not available to order as a product through Shop Z Series. You can download the code, however, from the IBM Web Membership, or IWM, website. Again, as I mentioned earlier, your ID must be associated with a customer number that has authorization to access the CL Super Session product. Slide 30. I've provided a couple of screens here as we go looking through the process. I've had to abbreviate what they look like to fit them in here, but I wanted to show you some of the things that you would need to select as you go through this process. Once you've entered the Candle Legacy Enterprise Products site, you would need to choose the IBM CL Super Session for MVS product. Slide 31. And I've listed here some individual items that you would want to order for the product. The Candle Installation and Configuration Assistance Tool, affectionately known as KICAT, provides the ability to install the rest of the code. The eDelivery User's Guide and Candle documentation may be helpful as reference material. And, of course, you would need to download the product and the cumulative maintenance. After agreeing to the license, you can confirm your choices. Slide 32. Two different panels are shown after you make that selection. The first one is a progress bar that is displayed as the files are downloaded to your personal computer. Note that the bar may stop at 99%. Don't let that fool you. The message below will say that the download is complete. Once you see that message, all of the data is downloaded, and you can close that window. You will then see a list of all of the files that have been downloaded and their sizes. Slide 33. Once you've got all that onto your personal computer, it's now time to move the data up to the mainframe. One of the items that was downloaded is a README file in an HTML format. You'll want to follow that README file carefully. It has the details of exactly what to do to move the files to the mainframe and reinstall the product. You will start by moving the KICAT code up. Then you will use the KICAT process to pull the base code and cumulative maintenance to the mainframe. Slide 34, please. This is a sample of the KICAT main screen. You'll follow steps 1 through 4. You will not use option 5 because you are upgrading a system that has already been configured. Slide 35. Option 3 is the one that you, when you get to that where you choose the quick install, by choosing a queue. So we can see a sample of that on slide 36. You can see that the quick install, the queue, is one of the options that's available for you to use to order to move the maintenance up. Slide 37. Depending on when the order is placed, the cumulative maintenance may or may not provide all of the current maintenance. We've talked a couple of times about referencing the fix list, like earlier on slide 5, and you should compare the current list of maintenance there to the fixes supplied on the cume tape. If there are PTFs in the list that are not on the cume tape, you would order those through Shop Z Series and apply them using the SMP process as usual. But now that you have installed the product and the cumulative tape, you should not have to have a long list of those or do those individually. Finally, oh, by the way, you will not use the KiCap process to install these last few. As I said, you would just use the SMP process as usual. Finally, you would want to review your running data sets. The RLS data sets, PARM, commands, and panels, and verify whether you need to retrofit any of your panel or dialog modifications in the RLS panels data set. That concludes this agenda item. If you could please move to slide 38, we'll turn time back over to Tom for the next agenda.
Thanks, Wayne. Well, we're on slide 38, and this is the final agenda item. We receive PMRs from customers who have had application initial logon dialogues that were working for years. They were written by the previous super session support person at the site who happens to no longer be with the company. Unless the logic was written way back when to check what screen is being presented before any typing or 8 keys are pressed, the logic will fail sooner or later. It application changes, timings in the network, protocol changes are a few of the things that could cause a failure. We do provide working examples of initial logon dialogues for some of the applications. These working examples are not in SampLive, but in the TLS panels data set. Customers may tweak them in some cases and use them as a base to create initial dialogues for other applications. The language used is called Session Procedure Language, or SSPL. Actually, the Super Session interface is coded in this same language. What I plan to do is go through a simple CICS initial logon dialogue to demonstrate a technique that could be used over and over for any application initial dialogue to make them fail-proof. One of the first dialogue functions we need to understand, though, is the BSS wait, because we use it quite a bit. So we will we'll attempt this to do just that. Let's look at the basic format on this slide of the BSS wait. The four basic parameters are session ID, the time, which is typically specified in seconds, the event mask, what are we waiting for, and a Boolean to determine if you want to wait for multiple events or just one event to occur. Whenever the VSS wait function is encountered within the logic, the CT engine suspends the dialog until the timeout value expires or the requested event or events occur. On this slide, the most typical events are shown. Here there are a couple of others that are specific for GDDM. I did not include them here. So if you code an event one, we're waiting for the keyboard. You're waiting for the keyboard to reset. An event two, you're waiting for an application message. An event four, we're not going to see that in an initial dialogue. We're going to see that in a term dialogue. In an eight, we're waiting for output data from the application. Moving to slide 39. This slide just shows a complete dialogue as it would exist in a member of your panel's data set. I have extracted pieces of this logic on the next couple of slides so we can follow the logic in more detail. Next slide, 40, please. Okay, well, logic typically starts at the prologue section. As you can see, section headers start with an open paren followed by the section header name. No space in between. We will be performing the steps in this logic exactly like a real operator would have to do manually, or would have done manually. The section header is followed by the VSS wait function, open paren. All dialog functions are identified with the function name followed by an open paren, there's no space in between, as shown. The next parameter we see there is a variable, ampersand sysparm. In an init dialog or a term dialog, you can always depend on this variable to contain the session ID. This VSS wait will wait 7 seconds for the keyboard to reset. We know that because if an event is not coded, it will default to a 1, which is keyboard reset. Once that happens, we'll use the VSS key function to simulate the clear key. Then we'll do another wait for 10 seconds for an event 3. Now, event 3 is a combination of events 1 plus 2, which is receiver response from the application and keyboard reset. We follow that with the Boolean set to 1, which means we want to wait for both of those events to occur before we drop to the next statement. Once both of those events occur, we're going to use the VSS type function to enter CESN, the transaction that brings up the CICS sign-on screen. Follow that with a VSS key of enter, then another VSS wait to wait up to 10 seconds for output data from the application. We expect to be on the sign-on screen after this. So let's move to next slide, 41. Many CICS installations just present the sign-on screen immediately without requiring the transaction to be entered by an operator. That's the case at your site. The open prologue section would more than likely be placed just before the do statement at the top of this slide. Also, this is the routine that I mentioned earlier that will make your initial or term dialogue fail-proof. It starts with a do statement and ends with an until statement seen at the bottom of this slide. The instructions we see between the do and the until statements will be performed until the ampersand RC variable is set to 0 or a return statement is encountered within this do-until loop. A return statement causes the dialog to end and the application screen to be presented to the user. Starting at the VSS find function just before the do, at the top of the slide, it will check to see if it can find CICS/VS/sign-on. And this is case sensitive. It has to find these characters in uppercase. Well, the VSS find is in parens, so it will execute first and provide a return code into a variable we call RC. That's the set RC preceding the parens. If the RC value is 0, we'll fall out of this logic and proceed to whatever is after the until statement, and we're done here. If the value returned in RC is not equal to 0, we're going to check to see if it's a 12. 12 means we did not find those characters anywhere in the output buffer from the application. At this point, the application has sent output, but not the sign-on screen yet. So we code another VSS wait for 20 seconds for an event 9 with a Boolean of 1, meaning to wait for all events to occur before falling through to the next statement. The two events we're waiting The two events we are waiting for is a 1 plus 8. So we're waiting for the keyboard to reset and output from the application. We have put this VSS wait in parens with a set RCW in front of it. This will provide the return code in a variable called ampersand RCW upon completion of the VSS wait function. Now, when the VSS wait completes and falls to the next statement, we're going to check the RCW variable to make sure we don't have a value of 16. A return code of 16 from a VSS wait means we have exceeded the time and the event has not happened. With RCW equal to 16, we know the sign-on screen did not arrive and we don't seem to be getting any more output from the application. 20 seconds have passed here. So what we do here is just put out a log message, return to the application, and we'll see what's in the buffer at that moment and see why we didn't find what we were looking for. If the event did occur, we did receive output from the application, we'll go back to the top, execute the VSS bind, and expect ampersand RC to be equal 0 and fall out to the statement after the until. If we did not have an RC0 and we did not have an RC equals 12 from the VSS find, the logic will fall down to the else do, kind of in the lower half of this page. Log the return code from the VSS find and return again to the application. Actually, the only time you will ever see either of those messages is when you're debugging this logic. You probably won't have to do that very often because, again, I said it's fail-proof. Well, at this point, we know we're on the sign-on screen once we get down to the bottom here. But before moving from this slide, I just want to point out there are only two statements that need to be changed when you transport this routine from initial dialogue or term dialogue place to place, and that's the VSS find statement and the log statement to just identify the screen that you're looking for. Otherwise, everything else is intact. Slide 42, please. Okay, we know we found the sign-on screen. We know that the cursor is sitting in a position just waiting for the user ID to be typed. So we do that. We do a VSS type of a variable called ampersand VSS user, which contains the user ID. And I was going to, let's see, that. If the user ID is less than 8 characters, we will need another VSS key to tab to the next input field in the buffer, and then VSS type the password from the ampersand VSS PSWD variable. Then a VSS key of enter, followed by a VSS wait for 5 seconds, waiting for output for the application. Type 8. We could follow this VSS wait with a return and we could be done here. Or we could possibly insert another do until routine to wait for another screen. Or like maybe the sign on complete message before we return the user to the application. You may want to clear the screen. You may want to enter another transaction. The important thing here is to use this do until routine to make sure you are where you want to be before going doing any typing or pressing any keys, just as you would do if you were signing on manually. Okay, moving to slide 43. SSPL is a very powerful language. It's very easy to do application integration with it. You can create your own applications with SSPL front end. Legacy applications or merge information from multiple applications running in the background. Anytime you're working with this language and dialogues, they're all explained in the CL Super Session Dialogue Reference Manual. We learned much earlier we can get all of the Super Session manuals right from the Super Session or the Support Portal page. Another thing I might mention, if you want the notes, particularly from this last topic, You can send me an email, and I can forward them to you. The email address for each of us can be found on the title page as shown at the start of this presentation. At this point, I'd like to pass the presentation back to Joseph.
Thank you, Tom. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And we have no questions.
Thank you, Jackie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.